Well, it's a pleasure to have you back with us today at GoldSeek.com Radio and our featured guest, Chris Powell, Secretary Treasurer of the Gold Antitrust Committee, GATA.org, working with, of course, Bill Murphy and others trying to get to the bottom of all of this market rigging and manipulation. Welcome back, Chris Powell.
Chris,
you've been invited to several conferences and talks around the world. I mean, you're obviously in demand. Folks are intrigued. You really, the cognoscenti want to know just what's going on with this rigging and manipulation. And there's oftentimes a lot of confusion around the topic, and you've done a great job organizing your thoughts. I thought we'd start today with your extensive research into the Deutsche Bank price rigging case, where they paid $60 million to settle a U.S. suit.
Deutsche Bank has admitted conspiring to rig both the gold and silver markets and has offered to pay, I think, about $98 million to plaintiffs in that suit. New York, I think, more interesting, Deutsche Bank has also agreed to provide evidence against its co-conspirator market traders in gold and silver. It has, you know, implicated, HSBC and Societe Generale. So there's, you know, there's going to be a lot of follow-up here, unless the U.S. government can stop the case, and indeed the U.S. government is trying to stop the case. It has urged the judge in New York to postpone any further evidence finding until the Justice Department can begin its own investigation of gold and silver market rigging by Deutsche Bank. And this is pretty funny because, of course, for many years, the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission insisted that it was investigating rigging in the silver market and couldn't find anything. So now somebody has found something, has gotten voluminous admissions. The U.S. government has come in to try to stall the case, and I imagine the government is trying to do that because eventually the rigging investigation will incriminate the U.S. government as well.
You know, you did mention, I believe, $38 million in a silver suit.
We don't know for sure, but since the CFTC, which is supposed to regulate the commodity markets, has sat on its hands about gold and silver rigging, no matter how much evidence is produced of it, one has to suspect that the CFTC has determined that the rigging of the gold and silver markets is actually U.S. government policy and that the government is implementing this policy through intermediaries in order to keep its fingerprints off what's going on in the markets. That makes sense to me. I mean, I can't prove that today. I can prove only that Deutsche Bank has confessed and incriminated the other bullion banks. But the U.S. government does claim the power very formally to intervene secretly and rig any market in the world, and it indeed is authorized to rig any market in the world by the Gold Reserve Act of 1934, as amended in the 1970s. You can see this on the Treasury Department's internet site, the page for the Exchange Stabilization Fund. The Treasury Department claims the power to secretly rig any market in the world, and the Congress has given it that power. So I think our suspicion here about what's really going on is pretty valid. I attended in 2001 a hearing in one of our lawsuits against gold and silver market rigging. The case was brought against the Bank for International Settlements and the Treasury Department and the Fed and some other bullion banks. The single hearing on it was held in U.S. District Court in Boston. And an assistant U.S. attorney got up and, in supporting a motion for summary judgment dismissal of the case, said that the government was indeed authorized to rig any market in secret, or market in secret anyway. I mean, this is a matter of public record. Anybody can look this up. The government has the power to intervene secretly in any market and rig it. What we try to do is call attention to this, that there are really no markets anymore. There were only interventions by the government, that we're losing our market economy, we're losing our democracy, our transparency in government. And the struggle that GATA is waging here, I think, is essential to things far bigger than the mining industry and the financial markets. I think it's our struggle is crucial to democracy and limited transparent government.
You do talk about the Bank of International Settlements, referring to it as the central bank of central banks and the oversight, if you will, of our friendly central bankers at Fed and around the world, the BOJ, the Bank of England, and related banks. And what I found interesting here is that they're getting involved in the swap business. You didn't delve into this too deeply yet. I mean, obviously, these gold swaps give them power and their agents to manipulate gold and the, of course, paper derivatives all around the world. And I think that it was implied here the BIS could be using this enormous power or influence to sway the markets when they start to get out of hand, when the people start to realize, wait a minute, there's an imbalance in the precious metals market. I'd better procure some.
The BIS is the gold broker for the major central banks. Our consultant, Robert Lamborn, pays very close attention to their monthly and annual reports, and if you go through the reports of the BIS, you find that they are very active in the gold business. You also find, as Bob did, that for some months until late last year, the BIS had gotten out of the gold swap business and then returned to it in a big way. Well, there's only one explanation for that, and that's central banks needed to allocate gold around the world in certain markets to control the price. This is another matter of public record. The BIS is the gold broker for central banks, and the central banks are trading the gold market. Well, to quote Alexandre Gauthier, the director of market operations for the Bank de France, central banks, the Bank of France is active in the gold market, quote, nearly on a daily basis, quote, for its own account and for the accounts of other central banks. They're trading in the market for a purpose. Now, either this purpose is just to have fun, to see which central bank can make more money by speculating the market, or else there's another purpose to it, which would be controlling the currency markets, controlling the gold market, to rig those markets in defense of government currencies and government bonds. Unfortunately, the financial news media will never put a question, a specific question about this market intervention to any central bank, even though it's public record. This is a prohibited subject, and unfortunately the mining industry itself is not interested in it.
Well, they may feel that it's just an issue beyond their control. I mean, whereas GATA has actually picked up the ball here and made, a rather valiant and courageous effort to expose what's going on. And you discuss several researchers, advocates around the world, who have made attempts at several different locations to try and, let's just say, nail down how much bullion is actually in these central banks. How much of these reserves actually exist, and how much of it is just paper shenanigans?
I'm just going to try to give credit to two researchers, particularly Koos Janssen of Bullion Star and Ronan Manley, who also writes for Bullion Star. They have peppered central banks with questions over the last few years, and usually they get the door slammed in their face. If you put a specific question about gold market activity to central banks, they will not be candid with you. They will not answer the question. I think that's really pretty telling. But I have said for many years that central banks, or governments anyway, treat their gold reserve information as more sensitive than the plans for the construction and deployment of nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons really can't be used except to destroy the world, but central bank gold is used to rig markets and control the world everywhere. It's a much more effective weapon than nuclear weapons.
It's an intriguing parallel, the destructive power of a thermonuclear device and the destructive power of the central bank's ability to print endless money and manipulate these markets. And you also talk about another researcher here who was looking into Mexico's central bank and their reserves, evidently an unallocated account at the Bank of England. This sounds suspicious. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, Guillermo Barber is a financial journalist in Mexico who has also tried to put very specific questions to central banks about gold. He questioned the Mexican central bank about its gold reserves, and of course they put him off, but Barber prompted the National Mexican Audit Office to prod the Bank of Mexico about its gold reserves, and a few weeks ago, the Bank of Mexico did issue a report about its gold reserves that showed that most of Mexico's official gold was being held at the Bank of England, and a fair amount of it was held in what's called an unallocated account, which signifies that, you know, the specific gold is not there, it's just a liability that the gold has been lent or swapped out. So Barba really provoked action in Mexico to expose that the Bank of Mexico is participating in gold loans or gold swaps to help keep the gold price down. I wish there were more like Barba, Jansen, Manley, who would keep pressing the central banks about what they're doing in the gold market, though I'm confident there's so much evidence are in on the gold price suppression scheme, and I suspect it's because the U.S. economist Paul Brodsky and Lee Quaintance were right when they wrote a paper 5 years ago speculating that the central bank scheme right now is to redistribute world gold reserves in favor of the holders of large U.S. dollar foreign exchange surpluses, so that when the dollar is devalued, the country's holding dollars will be hedged by an increase in the price of gold that has been redistributed to them.
Well, you know, you have plenty of company who obviously share your sentiments here. Dirk Bauer, professor of accounting and finance at the University of Western Australia, certainly shares your sentiments. There has been rigging in the gold market.
Two papers on this. I guess his most recent paper was an update of his first paper, but he looked at gold swaps and leases and concluded that these indeed were the mechanisms by which central banks are controlling the gold price. They are, you know, basically injecting phantom paper gold into the market through these swaps and leases. And he concluded that this was the mechanism of gold price suppression and market rigging. So there's a really an academic study that in the last year that supports Gatta's conclusions. You know, I don't think Bauer is going to get a lot of publicity for it either, because, you know, it's a prohibited subject no matter who gets into it. But, you know, there is an academic study from a respected professor in Australia that concludes that Gatta is right. Central banks are rigging the gold market, and they're using gold swaps and leases to do it.
According to your notes here, former Fed head Alan Greenspan told Congress, do not worry, or at least that was, again, the implications of his speech about the gold price, and the central bank has it all under control. We can sleep well at night knowing that our money supply and our markets are free. We don't have to worry about counterparty operations and things of that matter. Again, this just seems to be counter to your thesis.
Greenspan went before Congress in July 1998. He was testifying on legislation to start regulating derivatives. And interestingly, Greenspan was urging Congress not to regulate derivatives. And he had a very telling reference about gold. He said that they didn't have to worry about anybody cornering the gold market because central banks stand ready to lease gold in increasing quantities should the price rise. That is, Greenspan told Congress that they didn't have to worry about gold derivatives because the central banks were using gold derivatives to control the gold market. Nobody else was going to control the gold market but central banks, and the Congress should leave gold derivatives regulation alone because that was a mechanism that central banks themselves were using to corner the gold market. You know, that testimony is still on the Federal Reserve's own internet site. Greenspan admitted that the purpose of gold leasing was not what some central banks and their apologists were saying to make a little money on a supposedly dead asset. Rather, the purpose of gold leasing, Greenspan told Congress, was to keep the price down. That's intervention. You know, that's market rigging. And Greenspan himself testified to it. But when Gatta tries to call attention to this, we're called conspiracy theorists.
Evidently, it's not just Gada who doesn't trust their government. Maybe a billion folks in India as well. You make an interesting case here. Indians have refused, most of them, to paperize, you call it, their gold, turning down this opportunity that the government has extended to them to receive paper money in place of their gold. Only 7 tons of the 24,000 tons actually were drawn out, if you will.
Yeah, the Indian government has been waging war on gold for decades. Indian people, you know, have a great affinity for gold as wealth and as savings. The Indian government finds this very difficult because it impairs the Indian government's ability to inflate the currency. The Indian people don't really think very much of the rupee. So the Indian government over the last year has proposed various schemes to urge Indians to bring their gold forth to banks and exchange the banks for gold bonds. And those gold bonds are not paying very much in the way of interest. The Reuters reported a few weeks ago that, you know, only 7 tons of gold had been brought forth in India to get into these gold bond programs, and there's 24,000 estimated tons of gold in India. And I just can't help but thinking that India is a developing country. It's poor, but it has great potential. Think of how wealthy India would be instead of a poor country if a fair free market price was allowed for the 24,000 tons of gold that's in private hands and temple possession in India. But instead, the government of India cooperates with the West in suppressing the gold prices as best it can, and then that really keeps the Indian people poor.
Along with the recent decision of the prime minister there to eliminate their lowest currency denominations, which hamstrung the nation because, you know, as you probably know, 80-90% of daily transactions occur through cash and not electronically, as we see here in the United States. So I'd like to move on to your notes to the Federal Reserve. And you finally received a formal response, apparently, from the Federal Reserve that the Fed would refuse to disclose most of its information on the swap arrangement, gold swaps.
Yeah, a few years ago, we made requests to the Fed for access to its gold related documents. We were concentrating particularly on gold swaps. We got a letter from a member of the Fed's Board of Governors, Kevin M. Warsh, who was acting as a sort of hearing officer on our request. And Warsh wrote to our lawyer that among the documents that the Fed was refusing to disclose to us were records of gold swap arrangements the Fed has with foreign banks. And these arrangements were information Warsh wrote that was not, you know, typically disclosed to the public. Well, that was an admission back, I guess it was 2009, that the Fed was involved in gold swaps. More recently, a year ago, March, a Gada supporter was in the audience when the president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, Bill Dudley, was speaking at Virginia Military Institute. And at the end of Dudley's address, he took questions. Well, our supporter in the audience, Ware Smith, first asked Dudley a question about Germany's repatriating its gold from the New York Fed. Dudley answered that question in, at some length for a minute or so, talking about the Fed's relationship with the Bundesbank and why the Bundesbank might want its gold repatriated. Then Smith asked Dudley whether the Fed was involved in gold swaps. Dudley was taken aback for a second and said very dismissively that, well, he couldn't comment on individual customer sort of transactions. You know, this is pretty funny because with Ware Smith's first question, Dudley talked at length about an individual customer transaction between the New York Fed and the German Bundesbank about gold repatriation. But when Smith asked the general question of Dudley, is the Fed involved with gold swaps, Dudley wouldn't answer and mischaracterized the question as an individual customer kind of transaction. That was very telling. Smith brought the exchange to my attention very quickly, and I wrote to the New York Fed's publicists and asked, did Dudley respond this way at the Virginia Military Institute? And I'd like to put the question to you on my own behalf. Is the Fed involved with gold swaps? Well, the New York Fed's publicist got back to me very quickly, and he sent me a link to the video of Dudley's address at Virginia Military Institute, which carried at the end the question and answer exchange. But the Fed's publicist refused even to acknowledge my question, is the Fed involved with gold swaps? So I think you can see that this is the key sensitive question that the U.S. government does not want pursued. That is the Federal Reserve involved with gold swaps as part of a bigger scheme of rigging the gold market? This cannot be answered. The question cannot even be acknowledged. You know, if we had financial journalism in the Western world, this would be a very productive line of pursuit.
Well, no, to corroborate that with your comments on the Canadian billionaire Frank Giustra, a confidant you mentioned of several really top folks, and a billionaire, very influential individual, and I believe a gold mining company executive, said the governments are suppressing the gold price. Puts a big question mark there, I think, in all of our minds. If the top folks are familiar with this scheme and with these operations, you know, what does it mean for the rest of us Lilliputians out here?
In terms of the mining industry, I mean, this guy did acknowledge, managed was the word he used. He was speaking at the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference back in January. He was being questioned by Marin Katusa, who's a fund manager, and Katusa asked him, why isn't the gold price so much higher with all the turmoil in the world? And Giustra said that, well, he thought that the gold price was being managed by governments and investment banks. The interesting thing to me is that Katusa didn't follow up with any question, and Giustra didn't volunteer an answer as to, well, what are we going to do about this? We're just going to sit here and take it here? You guys are in the mining industry. Are you going to just sit there quietly and let the price of your product be suppressed? Do you not care about any obligation to your investors? Unfortunately, that question didn't get pursued. But I was very heartened by Giustra's acknowledgement that he had come to think that the gold market is being rigged by governments. I tried to get Giustra's attention, I think it was 8, 9, 10 years ago. A mutual friend introduced me to him by email, but I couldn't get him to look at the documents that I sent him. He had all this stuff available to him many, many years ago. But okay, he's come around. Better late than never. The problem is, what is the gold and silver mining industry going to do about this? Anything? Or are they just going to sit there and take it for as long as it lasts?
Well, you know, one wonders just what they can do. I mean, if we look at the size, I read an article just last night that pointed out the size of the entire precious metals mining shares. Just one company in the blue chip companies here could buy up the majority of the mining companies, you know, just their cash that they have on hand.
As long as the world is going to let investment banks, bullion banks, governments and central banks issue pieces of paper that say gold and silver on them in place of the metal. If the world is going to accept imaginary gold and silver as equal to real gold and silver, then real gold and silver are worth nothing. You know, why should the whole gold and silver mine industry be, worth anything? Especially if the industry will not stand up for itself against this fabrication of its product.
I think that all investors and our listeners today really owe GATA.org, a debt of gratitude for this coordinated effort that you all have made for, I want to say, over 15 years, maybe approaching 20 years now, to expose this, because we're all beneficiaries. Okay, anyone who has a modicum of investment in this area really should give a hat tip to GATA.org and to everyone there. As we wrap up today, have I missed any topicality that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I would just urge people, if they're interested in this sector, to go to our internet site, GATA.org, and they could enroll for our dispatches in the top right column. The nonprofit 501c3 organization in the United States, we exist on charity. If people want to support us, they can always go to the How to Help page on our internet site, and they can credit card us a donation or send us a check. Can guarantee you if you send us $5, you'll have sent us five more dollars than Newmont Mining has.
You know, we have some very loyal listeners today, so I feel confident that that will happen over time. All right, Chris Powell at Gata.org. Again, hat tip, and we appreciate all you're doing for us.
Oh, thanks for your help.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.